So I really love the Christmas season and Epiphany, and not just because this is my anniversary of my ordination. It's just a wonderful time of the year. We get to sing all of these great carols, and we get to hear such interesting scripture stories. And we have really only 2 weeks of it before the lectionary takes us back into Jesus's healing and teaching ministry around the Galilee. So I really cherish whenever we get to pause for a bit and look at the scripture stories that are in front of us. And tonight we hear the story of the three wise men who come and see Jesus after his birth. You know, that term wise men comes to us from the King James Version of the Bible, which is the Magi, right? Wise men is one way of interpreting that. But there's another interpretation, which might be slightly better, and that's magician. So imagine, instead of three wise men coming to see Jesus, having three magicians there at the Nativity. Of course, I need to say it's not really three, right? Even though we did hear a hymn about three kings, it's not really three. It could be two wise men, there could have been five, there could have been 20. It's only three gifts mentioned, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So regardless of how many are there, instead of thinking of them as wise men, what would we think of them as? Magicians. I think Jesus would have loved magicians a lot more, and not just because baby Jesus loves balloon animals. I think that getting the wise out of this translation is a good thing. For one, it saves us from this horrible joke, right, that if there had been three wise women there, it would have gone a lot better. Right? Wise women would have asked for directions, come on time, and brought diapers and onesies and casseroles instead of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Magicians are also, I think, a good translation, because magicians are oddballs. They're kind of out there, not just in our day with their capes and their top hats, but 2,000 years ago, too. You know, in Jesus' time, magicians, those who were skilled in magic and sorcery and divination and astrology, which are what these magicians were skilled at, they were excluded from Jesus' society. They were the utter outcasts. Throughout Jewish history, magicians, sorcerers, astrologers were set up as the exact enemies of the worship of Yahweh, right? The worship of the one true God. In fact, going all the way back to the very beginning of the Jewish Bible, the story of creation in Genesis is really a story of Yahweh as the true creator in opposition to all of these sort of astral cults that find power in the sun and the moon and the stars as the creators. And that comes out of that context when the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon, right? So the Babylonians believed in astral cults, and the Israelites didn't. So there's, throughout the history of the Jewish tradition, this real tension between Yahweh, belief and worship in the one true God, and astrology and sorcery and divination, idol worship. And yet, here, on this day, on Epiphany, in the Gospel of Matthew, which is, as some scholars think, the most Jewish of all the Gospels, we have front and center, first couple of pages, astrologers having this place of prominence and honor. Astrologers are actually the first human beings in the Gospel of Matthew to have quoted text. They came asking, where is the king, the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star, it's rising. What does that say? What does it say to think of that these outsiders, these oddballs, these people who are so radically different from us, are given a place of prominence and are the first ones, really, to come seeking Christ? Well, I think there's two takeaways for us. The easy answer is, I think we all should be aware of the oddballs in our midst, the people who we would naturally want to think of as not like us, because they might actually have some sort of truth. They might actually have some sort of vision into God's presence among us. There's actually, I think, a better lesson. One for each and every one of us in this next year. These astrologers were looking at the stars, which they believed to be God, or to be a deity of some sort. And in the stars, they found a path to the true God, to Jesus Christ. A lot of times, we like to think of alternative spiritualities as wrong ways in our life. We are looking for the right path to get to Jesus, to follow Jesus. And we try to exclude things that are heresies, things that are erroneous. And actually, the lesson of the Magi is that these other spiritualities, these other pathways, can lead us to God, to Emmanuel, to God with us, amongst us, dwelling with us. The season of Epiphany for each and every one of us is not just a commemoration of revelation, right? Realizing that God came to be with us. It's an invitation for all of us to continually examine our souls, our spiritual selves, and say, how am I perceiving God? You know, throughout the Christian tradition, people have said time and again, there really is not a right way to get to Jesus. Paul of Tarsus said, you don't have to be a Jew to follow Christ. And despite all of the controversies in the first few centuries over the creeds and orthodoxy versus heresy, there really is a universe, a multiverse almost, of Christianities, of ways of following Jesus. And I think in this 21st century, we're being invited into an even broader understanding of how to understand, to perceive God. That's the epiphany that I'm going to invite all of us into in this year.